Every pilot remembers the airplane they learned in. For most of us, it was something old, something well-worn, something that smelled like 4 decades of Avgas and sunscreen. And for a long time, that was just the deal. Training airplanes were hand-me-downs. The industry moved on and the trainers stayed behind. I'm Tower. This is ATIS on Radio Hangar, and today we're talking about whether that era is finally over. Before we get into it, a word from today's sponsor, AviationSoul.com. If you've earned something in aviation, you know that milestones in this business feel different than anywhere else. First solo instrument rating, airline transport pilot. Aviation Soul builds challenge coins that carry the weight of those moments. These aren't trinkets. They're made for pilots who understand what it costs to get there. Find yours at AviationSoul.com. All right, let's talk about the Track 10 Cirrus aircraft. Just unveiled what they're calling a clean sheet flight training aircraft, and they are calling it the new benchmark for that category. And I want to dig into that word benchmark, because that is a big claim, and Cirrus doesn't usually throw words like that around without meaning to back them up. First, let's set the stage. The flight training industry has been dealing with a compounding problem for years now. The demand for pilots is real. Airlines are still absorbing the pipeline pressure from retirements and post-pandemic recovery hiring. Regional carriers are moving people up faster than anyone predicted 5 years ago. Flight schools, particularly at the professional training level, are trying to build capacity as fast as they can. And one of the biggest pinch points has been the airplane itself. The workhorse of the primary training fleet, the Cessna 172, first flew in 1955. The Piper PA-28 first flew in 1961. These are exceptional airplanes. Proven, reliable, and about as forgiving as any trainer ever built, but they were designed in an era when a VUR receiver was cutting-edge avionics, and the idea of connectivity meant your radio worked. The airplanes we are training pilots in today are, in many cases, running on fundamentally mid-20th century design philosophy with modern glass bolted on top. That patchwork approach has costs. Maintenance is expensive. Parts availability gets harder every year. And there is an argument, a serious one, that training in an airplane designed around analog-era assumptions does not fully prepare a student for the integrated, data-saturated cockpit environment they are going to work in professionally. That is the problem Cirrus is swinging at with the Track 10. Clean sheet means they did not take an existing airframe and update it. They sat down with a blank page and asked, if you were designing a primary trainer in the 21st century, what would it look like? That question sounds simple. The answer is not safety is the first pillar, and if there is any company in general aviation with credibility on that front, it is Cirrus. Their whole brand history is built on the argument that you can engineer survivability into a small aircraft. The Cirrus Airframe Parachute System, what Cirrus calls CAPS, was a radical idea when the Cirrus SR-20 flew into production. Now it is standard on every airplane they build, and the statistics behind it have made the case for the industry with the Track 10. Cirrus says they brought that same safety philosophy forward and built it into the structure of a training aircraft from the ground up rather than retrofitting it. The details on exactly what that looks like are still rolling out, but the positioning is clear. This is an airplane where the safety architecture is not an afterthought or an add-on. It is load-bearing. Efficiency is the second pillar, and here's where it gets practically interesting for flight schools. Training operations run on thin margins. Fuel cost, maintenance cost, and the hourly cost of keeping an airplane in revenue service are enormous factors in whether a flight school can scale or survive. An airplane designed from scratch for training efficiency with modern aerodynamics and a power plant matched specifically to the training mission has real potential to shift those numbers. Now, we do not have the full performance specifications published yet, and I want to be careful not to extrapolate beyond what Cirrus has actually said. But the logic is straightforward. A purpose-built trainer using modern design tools can optimize the aerodynamic and mechanical package in ways that derivative designs simply cannot. Every pound saved, every tenth of a knot in cruise drag reduction, every hour of maintenance cycle extended. Those aggregate into real dollars across a fleet of 50 or 100 training aircraft. For a large Part 141 flight school running 20 airplanes, the difference between a trainer that needs a 100-hour inspection every 100 hours and one designed with longer service intervals could be the difference between running 3 shifts a day and running 2. That is not a small thing. Connectivity is the third pillar, and this one I find particularly interesting because it signals something about where Cirrus thinks aviation training is going. Modern professional cockpits are not just flying machines. They are integrated data environments. Pilots are expected to manage data link weather, electronic flight bags, performance data systems, flight management systems, and increasingly sophisticated monitoring tools from their very first days in a commercial or corporate operation. The training gap between what a student learns in a legacy trainer and what they walk into on day one of their first professional job is real, and it has always been papered over with type-specific ground training and sim time. The question Cirrus is implicitly asking with the Track 10 is, what if the training aircraft itself was natively built for that connected environment? What if connectivity was not a feature you added to a trainer, but a foundational design parameter? That has implications for how flight schools teach, not just what they teach in. If the airplane has native data integration, instructors can build lesson plans that incorporate weather decision-making, flight data monitoring, and avionics fluency in ways that are currently constrained by the hardware. The teaching environment changes when the airplane is designed for it rather than adapted to it. Now, here is the honest reality check, because Radio Hangar does not do hype. The Track 10 is an announcement. It is not yet a certified aircraft. It is not yet in a flight school fleet. The gap between an unveiling and a certified training aircraft on the line at flight schools across the country is significant. Certification takes time. It costs money. It requires dealing with the Federal Aviation Administration through a process that, whatever you think of it, is not fast. And there is the market entry question. The Cessna 172 and the Piper Arrow are not going anywhere immediately. The installed base of those airplanes is enormous. Flight schools have maintenance infrastructure built around them. CFIs know them. The switching cost for a large operation to transition their primary training fleet is not trivial. It is not just buying new airplanes, it is retraining maintenance personnel, updating manuals, building new institutional familiarity. Cirrus has navigated that kind of market entry before. The SR series did not happen overnight. It took years of proving the concept, building the safety record, and developing the instructor community around it. They understand long-game market development, but it bears saying plainly, the Track 10 as a category-defining aircraft is a thesis that still needs to be tested by real-world operations, real-world maintenance experience, and real-world student outcomes. What they have announced is a compelling vision. The follow-through is what matters. There is also a broader conversation worth having here. One that goes beyond any single aircraft. The aviation training pipeline has structural challenges that a new airplane, however well designed, does not fully solve. We need more CFIs. We need flight schools that are financially viable enough to invest in new equipment. We need a pathway structure that keeps more student pilots in the funnel all the way to certificated status, rather than dropping out when the cost gets prohibitive. The Track 10, if it performs as described and achieves competitive pricing, is a meaningful piece of that puzzle. But it is one piece. Where I think Cirrus genuinely changes the conversation is in setting an expectation. For years, the implicit message to flight training has been, use what's available, keep the overhead down, and accept that trainers are legacy equipment. A manufacturer of Cirrus's standing saying no. We are building a purpose-designed training aircraft that prioritizes safety, efficiency, and connectivity signals to the rest of the industry that the category is worth investing in. That signal matters even before the first Track 10 takes off for a first solo. If Diamond Aircraft sees it and accelerates their own training-specific development, if Textron Aviation takes a harder look at what a next-generation 172 could actually be, if the market starts competing on those three pillars that Cirrus has now named, then the Track 10's legacy might be as much about what it prompted as what it delivered itself. That is how category leadership works. You do not just build a product, you reframe what the category is supposed to be. For student pilots and people considering flight training right now, here's the practical takeaway. The Track 10 is not something you're likely to train in next year, but the fact that it exists, that it is being built, that the market is moving toward purpose-designed connected training aircraft is genuinely good news for the long-term cost and quality of flight training. Investment in the training category benefits everyone in the pipeline. For CFIs and flight school operators, watch the certification progress on this one. Cirrus has a track record of delivering on product promises, but the details of training operations, maintenance intervals, parts support, and instructor transition programs will be what determines whether this becomes a fleet staple or a niche offering. And for everyone listening, pilot or not, the future of how we make pilots is being redesigned right now. The Track 10 is the clearest statement yet that the industry is serious about doing that redesign properly. Sources for today's broadcast include Flying Magazine, which broke the Track 10 unveiling, and background context from Cirrus Aircraft's own product history. You can find show notes and links at radiohangar.com, Tower, ATIS, Safe Skies.